Good morning, church family. What a privilege and honor it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And although we try to make plans as best as we can, but as I say, if you are here by accident or by coincidence, know this: God in his divine wisdom knew that you and I would need to be here on this blessed Sabbath day for this divine appointment. Amen? And so what a privilege it is that God has brought us together in this hour of worship, that we may come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to fellowship with one another and to learn more about him and worship him. Amen? I want to thank Pastor Shane and Chandler Church for giving us this opportunity. Every fifth Sabbath, every month that there's five Sabbaths, we have been given the opportunity to run the main service, the divine service. And so it is always a privilege and an honor that we could come together on any Sabbath, but especially on Sabbaths like these where we can be used and utilized as tools in his service. Before we begin, if you still have your Bibles with you, go ahead and go back to the scripture reading that Devontae read for us. Book of Revelation, chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. But before we go into his word again, let's just go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you in this hour. Father, I pray that you anoint these lips that they might speak your words. Father, any thoughts or any words that I might have of my own, may you take them away. Hide me in the shadow of your cross, that I might not be seen nor heard, but that Christ might be seen and heard. Father, I pray that you help us open our hearts and our understanding. Fill this house with the presence of your Holy Spirit, that we might be given understanding and instructions into the things that we are to learn and the things that we are to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 to 11. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly what? Bitter, but it shall be what? Sweet. Where? In the mouth? As honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was what? And verse 11, and he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongue and kings. And so from this verse, the lesson study that we have prepared for us this morning is simply titled, Bittersweet. Oftentimes we hear this term or this terminology, bittersweet, right? And usually it's used to describe two feelings that describe one situation. It was bittersweet. Your wife calls you and tells you, hey, my mother is coming into town. Sweet that your wife is happy. Bitter. No, I'm just kidding. No, it should be sweet both ways. Amen? But oftentimes we hear this terminology being used, bittersweet. And so when we look here in the book of Revelation, God had given this vision to John. John was to what? He was to go to the angel and receive a book. The angel then instructed John to eat this book. Now, question. If I were to come here today and I were to have the deacons offer you, whether it be a liquid or whether it be something to consume, and I had them pass them out to you and I told you, go ahead and drink or eat, but warning, it's going to make your belly bitter. How many of you would go ahead and consume the product? Not many of you, right? But as we look, John is then told by the angel, but it will be what in the mouth? Sweet. Sweet as what? Question, how many of us have what we call a sweet tooth? Many of us, right? We love chocolate, we love cake, we love whatever type of sweet thing that it is that we love to savor. We just love to savor the sweetness in the mouth. Amen? And so as we look at this, and we are able to look at the context of these verses, there is very familiar context that we read here in the book. The first thing that we see is something that is going to be eaten. And when we think about it in this context, there are very numerous verses that we can relate to this verse, right? Such as, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord, right? In the book of Matthew chapter 4:4. In the book of Psalm, the psalmist writes, says, 119 verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So in other words, the vision that God is giving John here, the little book or the words that John is being given to, is none other than the Word of God. The Word of God is the sweetness that John is being told to. Amen? And so when we look at the bitterness is none other than the experiences or the disappointments that we come across. Bitterness equals bitter experiences, disappointing times. And as we look at the story of John, currently John, while he is writing the book of Revelation, what is John's current status at this time? Where is he? Where? On Patmos, right? And when we look and study Patmos, Patmos isn't exactly a postcard vacation hotspot, right? But rather, Patmos is described as a place where they exiled prisoners to, exactly, right? But look at this. Rather than John being concerned with the experience or the bitter disappointment that he is currently at, what's going on? John is willing to endure the bitterness because why? The sweetness of God's word being given to him. You see what I'm saying? In other words, what is it that keeps us through bitter times? The Word of God. Amen? As Christians, we are often going to come across bitter times or bitter experiences. But as we learn today, and as we're going to look at today, we are going to see that it is the sweetness of God's Word that keeps us even in bitter times. Go with me to the book of Luke, the book of Luke chapter 24. Book of Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. We have a story here of a bitter experience that is taking place. The book of Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. The story that's being given to us is a story of two disciples who are currently on their way to Emmaus. This is a very familiar story, correct? And so as the story goes, two disciples who are traveling on the road to Emmaus, lo and behold, Jesus appears before him. And as it says in the Bible, he appears before the disciples, but their eyes were what? Their eyes were holden. In other words, they were kept from recognizing Jesus, correct? And so as Jesus comes onto the scene, he sees that his disciples are discouraged. They are disheartened. The disciples are dealing with a bitter experience. 3 days prior to this, what had taken place? The crucifixion of Christ. In other words, they had just lost their master, their teacher, their friend, correct? And so here the Savior comes onto the scene, and he sees the two disciples. He sees the disheartenment, he sees the discouragement, and he comes up to them, and he says, what is wrong? The disciples then look at Jesus. Remember, their eyes were holding. In other words, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. And so they respond, are you a stranger to this land? Do you not know what has taken place? And so then the disciples begin to make a list of what has taken place. A list of the bitter experiences that they have gone through. How many of us do that oftentimes, right? When we go through these bitter experiences, we begin to list and name the things that are going wrong, correct? And so notice what takes place. Jesus asks, when he tells them of these things, he said, have you not heard of the thing that has taken place? Jesus says, what things? They begin to give a list of all the reasons to be discouraged, all the reasons to be bitter. But notice the interesting that takes place in verse 25. Rather than Jesus revealing himself unto the disciples, what does he do? says in verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets that have spoken. Ought not Christ have to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he what? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." In other words, rather than Jesus revealing himself to the disciples physically, what does he do? He goes back to the word, right? And he expounds unto them the things concerning who? Himself. Jesus is well aware that physically they are alive, but spiritually they are what? So he goes into the word of God, and remember, they are going through a bitter experience, correct? And so Jesus is giving perhaps what is the greatest Bible study ever known to man. Amen? And so notice what happens, what begins to take place when Jesus, in essence, what is Jesus doing with the disciples? He is breaking bread with the disciples. Correct? And so what happened? What was the end result of Jesus breaking bread with the disciples? What began to happen? The attitude began to change, right? No longer were they disheartened. No longer were they discouraged. No longer were they saddened. In fact, when Jesus had finished his Bible study, he was ready to go. But what happened? The disciples begged for him to stay, correct? They invited him over for dinner. And so the story goes, Jesus goes back with his disciples to the house, and he sits with them at the table. And what happened? Jesus takes bread, and he begins to break bread. The instant that Jesus breaks bread with them, the Bible says that their eyes were what? Their eyes were open. How coincidental is that? That while their eyes were closed and they were so consumed with the bitterness and the disheartenment and the discouraged things that had taken place, when Jesus broke bread with them, their eyes what? Opened. And look at what happens. What was the result of their eyes opening? Verse 31, "And their eyes were opened, and they what? They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight, and they said to one another, Did not our what? Did not our hearts burn?" Question, when does heartburn take place? After you eat, correct? Did not our hearts burn? Church, we cannot expect heartburn if we do not eat from the Word of God. What it is to be a nice thing to come here and listen to the preacher preach every weekend. It's a nice thing to come together and be in the same house of worship and fellowship with one another. But how can we experience heartburn if we are not eating? Right? And so as we take a look at this, going into verse 33, "And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered." Who were the 11? The 11 disciples, right? The 11 original disciples. There once was 12, but one was gone, which left 11. I want you to remember this number, 11. The 11 disciples, correct? And it goes on into verse 44 and 45. Jesus joins them, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their what? Their understanding, that they might what? Understand the scriptures. You see, what's interesting here is that the psalmist writes that the word of God is what? Sweet. Correct? Now, question. When you buy your favorite piece of chocolate or your favorite piece of candy, what must you do first in order to enjoy it? Unwrap it. You must what? Open it. Correct? You cannot enjoy the sweetness of the candy if you do not open the wrapper first, right? Correct? So too is just like the Bible. You cannot enjoy the Bible if you are not looking for who first. Jesus, in order for Jesus to open our understanding, and in order for us to enjoy the sweetness of God's word, we must first have him open our understanding. You see, when we lay this foundation, that while we are going into God's word, the main principle is to find who? Jesus. The example that he gave us in this simple story, beginning with Moses and the prophets before, he expounded unto him, to them, the things what? Concerning himself. What happens to a little kid when you give that kid a piece of candy? After he finishes that piece of candy, does the kid run away from you? But he what? Keeps coming back, right? When you enjoy the word of God, when you find the sweetness in the word of God, what happens? Come on now. How can we possibly expect to come back to the word of God if we have not found the sweetness in the word of God? When we begin to find Jesus in the scriptures, things begin to happen. He begins to open our understanding. We begin to see things that we never saw before. And so, when I think about this Bible study that Jesus had given to his disciples, I can imagine sitting with those two disciples, Jesus telling them, remember the story of creation, the story of Adam and Eve. After they had committed sin, there was a sacrifice that had to be made in order to cover their nakedness. That was the story of who? Of me. My sacrifice would have to be made in order to use my blood to cover who? Moving on into the story of David. You remember the story of David? When he sees Bathsheba out on his balcony, knowing that she's a married woman, what does he do? Sends out her husband to be killed. Gets together with Bathsheba. They're getting ready to have a child. The prophet Nathan comes onto the scene and says, David, you have sinned. David, feeling such remorse, falls to his knees, begs God for forgiveness. Nathan then comes back to David and tells David, you have been forgiven, but the child must die. Now, it doesn't go into any more detail about this child, but one thing is known. The child was a boy, son of David, who knew no wrong. Who was that a story of? Jesus. Jesus who knew no wrong, right? And so when we have this understanding that Jesus ought to be found in all the scriptures, when we have this understanding that Jesus must be found in order for our understandings to be opened, in order for us to enjoy the sweetness of God's word, we must have this understanding first. Amen? Now, going back to the book of Genesis, and I'm telling you, the things you learn when you begin to look for Jesus. Amen? In the book of Genesis, there are six major figures in Genesis. The first one at the beginning of time was the first man, which was who? Adam. Adam goes from about chapter 1 to chapter 5. The second character or figure in the book of Genesis is Noah. Noah goes from about chapter 6 to 11. After that, we have the story of Abraham. And who was Abraham's son? Isaac. And who was Isaac's son? Jacob. And at the very end, before Genesis is over, the last one was who? Joseph. So these six major figures, I want you to remember this. Adam, who was the first, he was also referred to as the first what? The first Adam, correct? Now listen to this. The first Adam who was put to sleep, his side opened up so that his bride came out of his side. So to Jesus referred to as the second Adam, put to sleep on the cross, his side opened up so that his bride would emerge, the church. Who did we say the second character was? Noah. God had bestowed upon Noah a message of warning that he was to give to who? The world, correct? So Noah was lifted up above the earth so that all men would be drawn to this message that God had given to him, just as Jesus what? John chapter 12, verse 32. If I be, all men will what? Third character, Abraham. Abraham left his father's house to go where? Into a strange land. Just as Jesus left his father's house to go into a strange land. Who was Abraham's son? Isaac, who was given up as a sacrifice by his father. Just as who? Jesus was given up by his father as a sacrifice. Then we come to Jacob. Jacob gained a birthright over who? His older. And Esau sold his birthright for what? Food. Did you know Jesus had a brother? Who was the first Adam? Adam. Jesus referred to as the... The first Adam rejected his birthright for what? Food. Right? And so we come to the last character, Joseph. Joseph, betrayed by his own, sold for silver, put in a prison for a crime he did not commit, even though Potiphar knew he committed no crime, placed with two criminals. Just like Jesus. Sold by his own. Sold for silver. Imprisoned for a crime he did not commit. Even though Pilate too knew he committed no wrong. Placed between what? Two thieves. You see, when we begin to look for Jesus, beloved, I tell you that you're going to find and see things in a very different way. Christ in all the scriptures. Let's go back to these six characters. Heartburn. That's what takes place when you begin to ingest. Heartburn, correct? Go back to Adam. Adam represents the beginning of creation, correct? Noah represents the result of sin. These two stories alone show the story of Earth's creation and the result of mankind's fall. Going to the third character, we have Abraham. Abraham became the father of what? Of a great nation named Israel. So together, Adam, Noah, and Abraham, basically we have an outline form story of the Old Testament. Then we come to Isaac. Isaac, who was almost sacrificed, tells us the story of the prophecy being given that there would come a sacrifice, right? So here in these four characters alone, in shadow form, we have the story of the Old Testament, correct? Then we come to Jacob. Jacob, who had a twin named what? And was Jacob the older or the younger? So the birthright belonged to Esau, but because he rejected it, it went to who? Now remember, in the New Testament, there is a literal Israel and a what? A spiritual Israel. The literal Israel rejected its what? Its birthright. So who did it go to? Spiritual Israel. Are we not currently spiritual Israel today? Jacob is none other the story than of the New Testament church. So from Adam all the way down to Jacob, just in shadow form, it takes us from creation all the way to the New Testament church. Now last we come to Joseph. Remember this about Joseph. Joseph had been sent ahead to prepare a place for his brothers. But before the brothers could enter and take their place among the house of Joseph. By the way, how many brothers did Joseph have? How many? 12 of them, but there was what? 11, correct? The 11 did not recognize who? Joseph, correct? And they were coming to Egypt looking for what? For food, for bread, right? And so look at this. Joseph sees his brothers. Joseph recognizes his brothers. And Joseph remembers what they had done to him. Joseph remembers, these are my brothers, the ones who betrayed me. These are the ones who sold me. The father has sent Joseph ahead to prepare a place for them. But before I let them in, I'm going to investigate. What's going on right now in today's world as far as the heavenly sanctuary? The investigation, correct? So look at this. So before they can enter into his place, he's going to investigate. How does he investigate? Let me see how they treat one another. I'm going to take one captive and let's see how they respond. Joseph's main test was to see how they treated each other. Do you love one another? Because if you do, then I'll know you've changed. Right now, we are in a time of judgment. And right now, the heavenly Joseph is looking down to see if we've changed. By the way, who was the main person who Joseph wanted to see how they treated? Benjamin, right? Who was Benjamin? Was he the oldest? Was he the middle? He was the youngest. In other words, he was the what? The least. How you treat the least. Remember that verse? Inasmuch as you have done unto the least of them, you have done unto who? The interesting thing about Benjamin, when Benjamin was born, his mother wanted to call him Benoni, son of sorrow. But his father said, no, name him Benjamin, son of the right hand. In other words, Benjamin is a form of Christ. How you treat him, you have done also unto who? Unto me. How differently we begin to see things when we find Jesus in all the scriptures. Amen? Now go with me to the book. We're going to try to keep this as short as possible. The story of Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 37. We're going to go through this rather quickly. Genesis chapter 37. We are given the story of Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 3, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha and the father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, here's the beginning story of Joseph. Right off from the beginning, we are able to establish a few things, correct? Joseph is what? Is he one of the older child, one of the middle child, or rather he's one of the what? There's only one younger than him, which is who? Benjamin. So when we read this story, what does Joseph do in verse 2? He comes back to his father with a what? With an evil report of what his brothers are doing, correct? So is it safe to assume, now reading this story, many of us probably read this story and we're thinking to ourselves, Joseph was a snitch. Right? first thing that came into my mind, well, I was like, man, Joseph is a snitch, you know. But he goes back to his brother, to his father, and he reports the things, the evil things that his brothers are doing, correct? And so it's safe to assume, and it's safe to say that Joseph was obedient to his father, correct? And so looking at the story, one, we see that Joseph is obedient to his father. And as the story goes, his brothers, what, did they love Joseph? Absolutely not. They what? They hated Joseph. And the hate only grew more as we read in the story. Joseph has a dream, correct? And in this dream, does that bring his brothers closer to him? Absolutely not. His brothers even become more enraged with their anger and their hatred for who? For Joseph. And so when we look at this story, first, Joseph, we understand, is obedient to his father, correct? Second, Joseph has a dream about something that was going to happen, correct? Now remember these things. Remember these things. Joseph was also one of the younger with his brothers, correct? Oh, and an interesting, sorry. But what happens is when we look at this story, Joseph and his brothers all have the same father, but different what? The same father, but what? So if we were going to look at a prophetic standpoint, right? Joseph being one of the newer kids on the block, the same father but different, who has a dream or a prophecy that brings his brothers what? Closer or further away? They hate him even more, right? So to the church. New kid on the block. Same father, different mothers. Were we given the message? So as the story goes, in verse 13, Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Do not thy brothers feed thy flock? Come, and I will send them unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came unto Shechem. So Joseph has been given commission by his father to go and what? Check on his brothers to see if they were what? If they were feeding the father commissioned Joseph to go and see if his brothers were what? Feeding the flock. And so as the story goes, Joseph comes onto the scene. You think his brothers are happy to see him? Absolutely not. What happens when his brothers come? They come together and they begin to conspire, correct? Their first option is to what? To kill him. Their first option is to kill him. But rather than kill him, what do? They sell him into slavery for silver. Correct? Now, if you were Joseph, you had been given this wonderful dream. You had been given this prophecy. And something like this takes place. Is it not safe to assume that Joseph was dealing with a bitter experience? Or rather, bitter experiences, as we're going to see in the story. Right? But what keeps Joseph in place? His faith to his what? His father. And the what? The dream or the prophecy that he had been given, correct? So as the story goes, we know the story. He goes into Egypt. He is bought up by Potiphar, correct? Joseph is then tempted in the house of Potiphar by Potiphar's wife, to lay with her, correct? And what does Joseph do? Refuses. So what happens? Joseph is then accused of doing wrong, sent to prison, correct? Now notice the different experiences that Joseph is going through, having to endure. But it is because there is sweetness in knowing and in obeying his father. He knows that the dream or the prophecy has been given. Even though he's unsure of how it's going to be fulfilled, he has the faith that it will. Amen? So what happens is Joseph goes to prison. And there he meets two criminals. And as the story goes, he comes across the butler and the bread maker, both which have dreams, correct? So he comes to the two of them, to the both of them, and he explains their dream to them. What does he explain to the first one? The butler? He says that when he comes, he's coming to Pharaoh with his cup, he presses the grapes into the cup, and he gives the cup to Pharaoh, which signified what? That he would be going back and taking his place next to who? To Pharaoh. The second one comes and says he dreams of these birds taking away and pecking at the bread, which signified what? He would be dead, correct? And so notice what happens and what takes place. So the butler makes it back into the palace. Pharaoh then has a dream himself. No one knows how to read Pharaoh's dream. Are we understanding this? No one has an idea of what Pharaoh's dream means. We can turn on the news today and see many pharaohs on the TV, not knowing, not understanding of what's taking place today, right? And so what happens? The butler remembers Joseph, and he remembers what Joseph did, correct? And so they call for Joseph. Joseph then comes, and he reveals Pharaoh's dream unto him. Remember the dream? Seven stalks of scrawny corn, seven stalks of healthy corn, seven fat cows, seven skinny cows, correct? And so this signified what? That there would be the years of plenty and the years of... So notice what happens. Pharaoh then places Joseph in charge of what? Gathering what? Bread. Grain. Grain used to make bread. In the years of plenty, Joseph was charged to gather bread. Right? Knowing that there was a crisis that is going to take place, he was to prepare. In other words, we are in the time of plenty right now. And where is the grain that we are to be gathering? Church, I wanted to tell you something. The church was commissioned and given a specific job for us to gather bread in the time of plenty. We used to be a church of the book. We were the original Facebook founders. But somewhere along the way, we lost our way. Somewhere along the way, we no longer put our face in the book, but we put our face in the world. Now see what's taking place. Joseph is put in charge of gathering bread. And Egypt has become the Mecca or the capital for getting ready for something that's happening, correct? And so who comes along onto the scene? His brothers. What were his brothers looking for? The brothers that once what? Rejected him have now come back to what? Look for bread. Church, I'm telling you, we can see it. We know that bitter times are coming. But praise God, we have been given this time of plenty to find the sweetness and to gather the sweetness of God's word. So when that time comes, the 11 will come and they will say we are hungry and we have the sweet bread of God's word to feed them. There's a story of a war that took place. And the story goes, the battle had taken place between the two sides, both sides trying to gain the upper hand on the opponents. And so as the story goes, word comes back to the headquarters of one side. And a very important message has been brought to the attention of the general. So the general is called forth to receive this message. And the message is from the enemy, and it says, "We have your son. Be ready to give up, be ready to give in, and we'll happily release your son." And so as the story goes, the general goes off and his counselors come behind him, asking him, what are we going to do, offering suggestions of things that they should do. But after holding this counseling, the general finds a quiet corner where he spends time to himself. After what seemed like a very long time, he sent word to get a hold of the enemy. And so word comes back that they have a hold of the enemy, and the general says he wants to make a request. He wants to speak to his son. And so the enemy, sure that they have the upper hand, sure that they have the war ready, they grant the general his request. So the general gets on with his son and speaks to his son. He could hear that his son is scared. He could hear his son's voice trembling. And so the general asks, "How have they been treating you?" The son replies, "I'm okay. I'm just not sure what's going to happen. What are we going to do? What should I do?" The father then tells him, "Remember who you are. You are my son. I have readied you for moments like these. Be of good courage. Be of good strength." And he told his son what was to take place. After having a conversation, the enemy, sure that the father was going to concede, rather the father said, "Move on with the war." The father sacrificed his son for the better of the cause. When we read the book of Desire of Ages, there's a story of Jesus coming to Gethsemane. And so what's so interesting about this story, we read in the Bible in the book of Matthew, Jesus pleads in the Garden of Gethsemane to the point where blood is coming out of his pores. He has been given this cup of bitterness to drink. But what's interesting about it is that it says the prophet sees in vision, three times Christ prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." Many of us do not know how close we came to not having this period in time we are at right now. Jesus, in that hour, in the balances, wondered, should I let them suffer their fate? Should I let them suffer the consequence for their disobedience? Three times he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." And as the pen of inspiration says, all of heaven grew quiet. The angels on the edge of their seat, looking down on their master, waiting for God just to say the word so that they could swoop in and save their beloved master. Not a harp was heard, not a song was heard in all of heaven as the father looked down on his son. Satan and his demons had all gathered, sure that their victory was in hand. And as the pen of inspiration says, the angel who took Lucifer's place in heaven was commanded by God to go down. Go down into the garden and speak to my son. remind him that his father is watching him, and tell him that his father still loves him. It says in that moment that Jesus then decided to take and drink that cup of bitterness because of the encouragement of his father's words. Beloved, we are coming to a time where we each too will find our own Gethsemane. And we will come to that point in time where you and I will be hanging on in the brink. Do I drink this cup of bitterness? Or should I allow myself to suffer the consequences of my decision? And in that moment, Jesus will come to us and says, remember, you are the Son of the living God. You are my child. I died for you so that you too would have a second chance. The world right now is getting ready for its Gethsemane. And it's waiting for God's messengers, for God's angels to come to them with the sweet word of God and let them know you're not alone. God is there for you and God is with you. Beloved, it is my prayer, my hope, that as we see what's taking place in the world, we don't get caught up in what's going on. So easy to get caught up with the things that's taking place, the president, the NFL, all these different things. But you know, the pen of inspiration says that none of them can possibly have answers for the things that are taking place because they have lost sight of God. So what use is it for us to sit there and try to listen to solutions that they have absolutely no idea in how to answer? There's only one answer, and that's through God. It is my hope and prayer that we do not become distracted by the things that are taking place, but that we remember we are currently in a time of plenty. We have been called by God to become Joseph, to store up the bread and get ready for that great famine that is taking place. Amen.